Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Cindy Sansone Braff, author of Grant Me a Higher Love, How to Go from the Relationship from Hell to One That's Heaven Sent by Scaling the Ladder of Love. I'm also the author of Why Good People Can't Leave Bad Relationships. I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. But before this can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Now, I'm not sure where my co-host Nicole is tonight, so I'm going to try to man the ship without her for a while. I just hope she will call in soon, but otherwise I think we'll be okay just with me. Well, I can see that my husband TJ is on the line, and let me just see if I can connect with him. Hi, TJ. How are you doing?
Hi, Tina. I'm sorry to hear that you can't find Nicole. I'm doing well. I know you have a lot of people waiting to talk to you, and I can talk to you later tonight. Do you want some Chinese food tonight?
No, thank you. I just ate just a little bit before, so I'm fine about food. So unless you want some, you don't have to stop for me.
And is there any, what time's a good,
well,
it's hard to do this
some,
over the air.
I have some meetings until 10. Anyway, let me go on with the show.
All right, I love you, too. You take care. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye. Okay, now I'm just trying to see if Nicole has called in yet. No. Anyway, I'll go to the first caller. Hi, it's Cindy. You're live on the air.
Hello?
Hi, this is Cindy, and who's this?
Jean.
Hi, how are you?
All right, so I had two interviews today.
Okay, and how'd they go?
The first one went really good. It's for an insurance company. The second one was a digital one for PSE&G.
Oh. And that seemed to...
That's very strange to do that. I never did that before.
Oh, I know. And, you know, it's hard. Job interviewing is always hard. I know you've been looking, and it gets a little bit tricky, but how'd you think you made out at the interview? Do you think you did well?
I think I did very well. The one this morning for an insurance company, and he was looking for an older woman to run his office. He left New York Life and went on his own, but in New York Life building. He just wants an older woman. He's had four girls since November, but he also wasn't willing to pay. So he is willing to pay what I want. So it sounds pretty good.
Good. I'm just going to look at your cards, and yes, you did.
I have a question also.
Sure.
You know I do my online stuff.
Yes, I do. And by the way, I have to thank you for the bedspread you made for us. You crocheted for TJ and I. We absolutely love it. We use it every night. So,
well, you'll use it tonight. It's cold.
I know that. So anyway, you're online, yes. I know that you...
You know, dating. My online people. I started talking to this one person. He's in California for like 3 weeks now. And he just sounds like a real person. He's not one of those fakes.
Again, it's long distance, and they don't work. I will tell you why. I had a client, and very nice like you, and she came for a reading, and she'd been talking to this guy for like 2 months, and he's in Boston, and she's in New York, and they were supposed to meet this weekend in Mohegan Sun, and I said to her, the long-distance guys are either commitment phobics or they're just looking for sex, and now that he's going to meet with you, do me a favor and tell him that you're not going to sleep with him on this first Mohegan Sun connection. So,
well,
you know,
that's how
and
I
of course she said that a month ago, and he was like, oh, yeah, sure. Now he just called her to say his brother just came in and he won't be able to meet her. And then he did that to her yesterday, and she was trying to connect with him and text him. He hasn't answered her text, and she emailed him, and he hasn't been getting back to her. Be careful of long distance. They're either commitment phobics, and they want a pen pal, you know, or talking pal. But,
well, the,
you know,
last one, when I, the last one, when I asked him for a copy of his driver's license, then he stopped immediately because I knew he was a fake.
Right. And even if they're not fakes, you know, it could be that they're just looking for sex.
Yes.
And they're not being honest. They're telling you what you want to hear. Or two,
this
they
one,
just...
This one doesn't even talk about sex, so...
Good. But again, he might... It's long distance. It's not very realistic that you're moving to California or he's moving to New York. So it's kind of safe for people to have these long-distance things and open up because it's not on a day-to-day basis. So I don't know why you're even looking for anybody that far away or wasting your time.
I'm just answering them. I just, it's something to do.
Right. And again, I always tell people if it's something to do, it's something to do. But, I mean, this woman today is really, like, heartbroken. And I was like, I told her, like, last month, look, this guy, all of a sudden he wants to, you know, from Boston to New York. I go, these people, you can't check up on them. You don't know what they're up to. You don't know what they're doing. But, of course, he yesed her to death a month ago. Yeah, sure. Like, he doesn't care. She's not going to sleep with him on that date.
Right.
But, you know, and I feel really badly for her. I don't want to be right on these things, but I would better she told him and he didn't show up than she went there and he slept with her and she never saw him again.
Oh, yeah.
I'm about to tell people, if you're looking for sex, you're certainly going to get it from these guys. I don't know what else you're going to get, you know, what other venereal diseases you might catch.
I think the last one, that what they asked him for ID or what he was, I really think it was Patrick. Because he was saying he knew too much about me too quickly. And I think it was him playing a game.
Okay, yeah. That's something that you have to watch out for, too. So I'm just saying, if you're going to do the online dating, go in with your eyes opened.
Oh, yeah.
You know, a lot of people are not who they say they are. Don't be surprised. And even if you do connect, this long-distance thing already has a built-in expiration date or, you know, disaster attached to it, unless, and then people say, yes, he's willing to move, you're willing to move. I go, that's all fun and games, but why start with someone long distance that you haven't met? I mean, it's different if you met someone in New York City and he happens to live in California, but you've already met.
That's
just
different.
You know, have fun, but I do see a soulmate for you in the future, so I want you to relax on that, by the way.
Okay.
I don't want you to...
What about my job?
And I see you getting a job pretty soon. It looks very good with both of the interviews you did today, by the way.
Okay.
So you have to call and let us know what happens. We love your bedspread. You keep us all cozy and warm every night, Jean, and thank you so much for your gift.
All right. Have fun.
Call in again soon. Bye.
All right.
Okay. So my... co-host Nicole, I am here. Hello, hooray.
I'm so glad. Hi, Cindy.
I'm always a little put off when you're not here. I'm always like, oh.
I know. No, actually, you know what I was screwed up? It's like today I had such like a busy day. I had like just I'd gotten up. I had hit the ground running this morning. And then as everybody knows, this week is my first week at my new job. So I hit the ground running there all week long, and then I was, you know, I cut out of there. I ran over, you know, to where I usually do the show, which is my mother's house, and my second job, my weekend job, called me up and said, hey, can you cover the boards for a little while? So I'm like, sure, I can do it all. I'm going to get out of work at 5:30. I'm going to be working my second job from 6 to 7, on Cindy's show from 7 to 8, and then I'm going to watch the Ranger game from 8 to 11. It's going to be a good night. And then, of course, I'm sitting here working, and I'm like dilly-dallying and everything, and I went, it's 7. So then I was like, shit. And then it took me a while to get on it because it was like literally like 6:59. I was like, fuck. So.
That's okay. I mean, I'm a psychic. I know you were okay. I know nothing was wrong. So I felt really, I was just like, please, Nicole, come help me. Now, I do want to go over to Vinny because Vinny is a friend of my husband's, TJ, and Vinny is a Facebook friend. And Vinny is one of the nicest people on Facebook. He always has something kind to say or a funny joke.
Oh, so let's hear some kind words from Vinny.
So he's like one of those people you just say, what a nice guy. And
is he like a TJ?
The world should be more like Vinny. And he's a lot like TJ. And
okay.
So we have Vinny online. So
much.
There we go. I got him. Hi, Vinny. You're on the air.
I'm sorry. I just wanted to call in to say hello, introduce myself. I really don't have a love question because, hey, I'm Italian. Love is here with me. At least I think.
And you
so.
Have a beautiful wife. And no, we also do other things. I know you did have a friend who passed away a long time ago that you did post on Facebook that you miss him. By the way.
Yes. Yes. I post. I don't know if it's morbid or not, but I post the anniversary of his death every year for 43 years. I always remember it. I still actually have a little piece of his mass card from 1971 in my wallet. Every time I change my wallet, it's getting smaller and smaller, but I still have a little piece of the mass card in my wallet. He was, and TJ knows him too. He was special to us. He died at 17. Tragic bike accident, but Cindy, you know, I don't know the meaning of it now that I'm talking to you, Cindy. You know, but after I guess about up until a year after he died, I would have a dream. It's always the same dream about him, and this was 1972 now. But he would be playing basketball. I'd be walking up, you know, where we lived in Pelham, and and I'd say, hey, Sandy, how's heaven? Oh, it's great. It's, you know, how's the angels? Oh, the angels are beautiful. Everything's fine. And then I said, the last question I'd ask him, Sandy, was, what does God look like? And that's when he was talking like tongues. That's the only thing I couldn't understand what he was saying.
Wow.
And then after a year, the dreams dissipated. But I thought that was, I don't know, I guess kind of interesting.
Yeah, he was trying to prove to you that death ends a life, not a relationship, that
right.
You would have to go meet him in a mutual plane, by the way. It's not really a dream. Your soul has to leave your body. His has to leave the plane where he is. It's sort of a mutual plane. Like, we can't really go into their realms, but they can come meet us. And so he was just trying to let you know that it's good up there, and probably he wasn't allowed to tell you what God looks like. I mean, maybe God censored him at that moment, you know. Then he's got to wait to come up here to see that. So he did want you to know that it is beautiful up there. You know, he always knows that you think about him, by the way.
I do. I do. A few people in high school that passed away. But, again, I didn't mean to take your time up. I just wanted to finally introduce myself to you.
Oh, and I already feel like I know you again. when I see your Facebook post, I have this feeling of your soul, that you have a really good soul and a good heart, and everything you do is to try to make us laugh during the day or just a nice positive comment, and it makes it such a pleasure because, you know, sometimes people are saying some of the nastiest things on Facebook. I'm like, please, don't do that on Facebook. You know, be nice. So even my own nephew will sometimes post nasty things that I want to strangle him, and I always tell him, remember I changed your diapers, so, like, let's be nice here on Facebook.
No,
so
I
love your comments.
It's a good medium to, especially me. You know, I moved to Pennsylvania after I went to college, so I haven't seen my high school friends in over 40 years. This allowed me the channel to reintroduce myself to them again. It's really been amazing, and I do want to visit you and TJ, me and my wife Marlene.
We would love that.
We really
would love that.
Yep.
And this way you could get to know us. And, of course, I feel like I already know you, and I'm really honored that you called into our radio show because we just like to hear that, you know, people are into, you know, just learning about what they can about life and the afterlife and sharing what they've learned and the experiences they've had. And you know, again, with your friend Sandy, he may come to you in a dream today or tomorrow now that you brought it up.
Okay.
So, you know, don't be surprised you get a dream.
Yeah, and it doesn't scare me. You know, I'm not afraid of it. I just thought that was interesting a year after, and then the dreams really just dissipated. They never came back. But anyway, I appreciate
that's not uncommon. That's a pretty common experience. We're supposed to sort of move away from the dead after a while so that they don't become the focal point of our life. So they're pretty respectful of moving away from us, too, in a way that, you know, they're still there if we need them. but they actually are happy when we're not mourning for them anymore. So it doesn't disrespect them. They just know that you have to get on with living.
Yeah,
and
you're right.
Of course, the young people that die are the most fun to talk to because, like, your friend is going to be 17 till his next incarnation, which is really fun to be 17 up there. You know,
yeah.
We just want to keep our energy bodies nice and young so when we're up there, we're still young in spirit.
Beautiful. I like
that.
Well,
thanks so much. And please let us know when you're coming into New York because we definitely love it. And TJ is on listening to the radio show, so I'm sure he's getting a kick out of this. So.
Well, hey, TJ, how you doing? All right, I'll see you guys.
Okay, bye, Vinny.
Bye, Vinny.
Bye.
Okay.
Don't you just love Vinny?
Oh, my God, he's so great.
And what TJ said, he was this really handsome guy that all the women, like, loved when he was, like, a teenager, but, like, he didn't have a clue, you know, that he was.
Oh, yeah, he was one of those.
Just those kind of guys you love.
Yeah, absolutely.
And isn't it funny when you haven't met anyone or even talked to them live, but you sort of think you know them from Facebook, which I just think is interesting how we get to know all these people.
Oh, yeah.
And the connections and who's doing what. And,
I haven't talked to my
cousins in years. And so now I've connected with my cousins on Facebook. I just find it really fun.
Well, Facebook is very, very good that way when you use it the right way. You know, when you're using Facebook to stay in touch with people that ordinarily you don't have human contact with, then that's a great, you know, because it is giving you that bridge, that connection, you know, over geography, which is nice. But I think, unfortunately, where Facebook goes wrong is that too many people take for granted those little moments on Facebook, whatever, where they're missing out the actual human interaction that they can have in lieu of the inhuman interaction that they have there. You know, said recently that, you know, he turned around and goes, you know what, concerts suck now. He goes, I almost don't even want to go on tour anymore because you look out there, there is no energy from the audience anymore. I look out at the audience and the first three rows are looking down at their phones, watching me through their phones.
Right, exactly. And, you know, there was this one-act play we saw at Port Jefferson Theater 3, which is a great theater, and it was like a 10-minute little play, and it was about these people met online. They were standing shopping online and returning something, and they happened to know each other. They were friends, and they had nothing to talk about because everything they brought up, oh, yeah, I saw that on Facebook. Oh, yeah, I saw that you went there on Facebook. And they just didn't know what to say to each other because – everything was already posted on Facebook. So, you have to be a little careful what you post and a little bit. We don't have to know everything.
Yeah, you don't have to post everything that happens in your life. If you had peanut butter and jelly, nobody needs to know that but you. You know, that's just my feeling on it, you know. Post stuff every so often and every now and then, but speak to people. Have human connection.
Exactly. And speaking of Facebook, I don't know why our Blog Talk Radio couldn't post on Facebook that
still,
we were airing live. So it did send me something, Blog Talk, that I was able to post, you know, like sort of hand post onto Facebook. But I'm like, why is that not working today?
Gosh.
It is always something electronically. We never know why it's not working on Blog Talk Radio.
Yep.
Well, we are having a Memorial Day weekend coming up, and I think that we should take a moment to remember that we're going to have a lot of fun, but it is also about remembering those people, those men and women who have died at war in our armed forces. So sometime during the busy weekend, I hope we all take a moment to do remember that it is Memorial Day. And I never knew my whole life growing up, and even up to recent times, Memorial Day was always plagued with anxiety for me, although I never knew what Memorial Day was when I was growing up, oddly enough. And it's funny now looking back, I go, wow, because somehow we were all having a barbecue and doing this, but the main reason we were supposed to have Memorial Day, and it started after the Civil War, so I'm wondering if from a past life I kind of remembered what it was supposed to be like, because as a little child I can't imagine why I would have even thought about this. But it is for us to, you know, give thanks for those people who have died fighting at war and to give a moment's thought to maybe we can make more peace in our hearts and in our homes so that we won't have war in the future. And anybody who knows
absolutely.
Me, my mission is anti-war. So I'm just hoping that we do all take a moment to remember what we're celebrating. I don't know if that's the right word to use at all.
No, well, it's more, it's a remembrance. you know, but it is kind of a celebration because, you know, although I don't agree with war either, and I don't agree, you know, with specifically, you know, in nowadays and, you know, in present time, I don't agree with why, you know, we are at war and why we're doing things that we're doing. I don't. But I have the utmost level of respect for the people that are doing the fighting. Because
exactly.
They're following their orders. They're following what their government is telling them is the right thing to do, and they're only doing what the right thing to do is. And you know what? We don't know, you know, what could happen if they're not over there. We don't know the kind of, you know, repercussions could exist if they weren't there. And they're fighting so that we don't have to. And that's a great thing. They're you know, as one of the, because it is Fleet Week this week, because it is Memorial Day, as one of the decorated soldiers said, you know, on the radio earlier this week, you know, we're fighting the away game so that we don't have to play any home games, you know, and that couldn't be a more relevant way to say that, you know. But I actually have a little piece of history for people out there, and anybody who is of African-American descent will appreciate this, that Memorial Day was originated by African-Americans, by black people. And
wow.
The reason why is because, and the, basically, like, I'm going to give you the short end of the story. Memorial Day was actually originated after the American Civil War, and it started by a bunch of you know, Southern, you know, people, former slaves, now that the North had conquered the South, and there was, you know, fleets of African-American soldiers, both of Northern and South, that were all marked, you know, that were all buried very, very hastily in unmarked graves, because at that point they didn't really bother to register a lot of the African-Americans during that time whenever they were enlisted in service. So parades of these people started walking down to where these unmarked graves were, and they wanted to remember them. And they wanted to say that, you know what, any soldier, whether they're black, white, you know, didn't matter what ethnicity you were, any soldier that fights the way that these people fight for their country deserves to be remembered. And they brought flowers, and they played music, and they celebrated the lives of these people, not the deaths. And it wasn't until much later that Memorial Day opened up for all soldiers, not just, you know, as a remembrance of the American Civil War, because for many years it was just the American Civil War, and then they opened it up to, you know, be all of you know, the service, you know, the people that, you know, honored their country with their service. So there you go.
Well,
that's history for you guys.
Well, that's what I thought. We should not acknowledge it. It's important to acknowledge it.
Oh, absolutely.
Now,
absolutely.
Do you know that you have Jane wants an update?
Yes, Jane wants an update.
Go ahead, and we'll put Jane on the air. She's a regular call-in.
No, I'm spinning here. That's why it's taking so long. That was just my fault. Hello, Jane. You are on the air.
Hi. Thanks again, Cindy, for taking my call once more.
Hi, Jane. So you're getting a little nervous about everything, huh?
Yeah, you know who I saw Sunday only because I was in a state of panic.
Not really.
Yeah, it begins with an N.
Oh, yes. You went to see another psychic, yes.
Yeah, the one that we talked about.
Right.
Yeah, he was once very accurate, you know, way before I knew you. Then he wasn't, and we talked, but, you know, next time I have that sense of panic, I'll take a pill and then go talk
Thank
to him.
Thank you, because you don't need someone to tell you there's no hope, because when you told me what he said, I wanted to personally slug him from here to Oshkosh.
He said he sees more of the same, that I'll be couch surfing
in
Florida. Yeah, and we're actually at the moment, it's still not looking good.
Okay, and again, this for you, I just see you will get something in Florida.
Okay.
Kate, don't give up. Did you sell your ring in the meantime that you were trying to sell for a little bit
I got a little bit scared, and I still own it. And I'm thinking of having it certified. It's not what I thought it was. It's not as valuable as I thought it was. But then again, I'm not so sure I trust the people that are telling me that.
Right.
So,
and
I just came back from the city, actually. I had the stone removed so that they can look at it more closely.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's, you know, here making me nervous. Loose. But it's something. It'll help, but it's not as much as I thought it would be.
Yeah, I know. I told you that because diamonds are not a great resale, unfortunately.
But it's something. I mean, I'm grateful that I have it, but I just don't. You know, I will accept what it's worth, but I'm a little bit nervous that I'm going to receive less than what it's worth, which wouldn't be so great. You know, if it's worth this and that's all it's worth, that's fine. I accept that, you know, but I'm just thinking of going to have it certified now.
That's a good idea. Get it certified and then, but I'm seeing, you know, you will get something in Florida.
Okay.
Of course, you can't run there until you have something. And
well, I have to go somewhere at the end of, at the third week in June. I have to be out of here. Absolutely must. You know that.
Right. And
I'm ready to put my stuff on the street.
Good. Well, the third week of June, you still have some time. And I'm seeing that you're going to do just fine in the next few months. Little bit of changing, a little bit scary. Try not to think about all the doomsday scenarios. Try thinking positive.
I'm trying, yeah.
I know. And are you thinking of staying in New York if you have to?
I don't want to. Where am I going to go? I have no place to go unless I, you know, go in someone's rented room with no bathroom. You know, it's like I just can't even think of that. I have a little bit of work in June if I, you know, want it, but, you know, I have no place to be. I really have to be out of here. It's getting very uncomfortable, and which is totally right. I mean, it's not good. And I just got turned down for two jobs I applied for this week. Got an email saying that, although my credentials are impressive, we can't consider you for this position. And I'm sure part of it is my age.
Okay. And again, that they're really not allowed to discriminate against age, so
right. Yeah,
it's hard to prove that's what they're doing.
Oh, exactly, yeah.
But just keep applying, though, because don't get discouraged. Mm-hmm. A lot of people get a lot of rejections. I do see a better job in the near future, so just apply, keep being positive, and I don't see you couch surfing forever in Florida, by the way. You might have to do it for a brief period of time.
I don't know where. I don't know anybody. I'm networking there. I met a few Facebook friends down there.
Good.
But,
but
they're not, you know, friends. Like, I'm not going to stay on your couch.
Right. But I do see, like, in the 11th hour something happening. So keep your job, you know, your resume is getting out there, and keep positive because
okay.
I really do see
all right.
good things. And please don't waste your money on somebody who's going to tell you, like, there's no hope because mm-hmm. that's terrible.
Yeah, well, I do want the truth, but he's been wrong in the last few years.
Yeah, so God's saying, so you're going to go to him, so he's going to tell you something wrong and you're going to pay him, huh?
Right. I thought it's not expensive, as you know. It's, you know, 15 minutes and it's not, you know, much, but it was more like someone to talk to, you know, on a Sunday when I was by myself and in the state of like, oh my God, you know, what's going to happen. And since I hadn't seen him in a year and a half, I thought maybe he would revert back to accurate again, you know, like
right.
he used to be.
Well, just know that next time, just go for a walk.
Yeah, I know. I've totally learned with that one. And I mean, you've never steered me wrong, so you know, I know. But you know, it's like he was there, and I was, you know, needing to talk to someone.
Well, now you know why I'm not a psychic 911. You know, people are not supposed to call when they're in the middle of a bad moment or their world is in a tornado state. Usually, people who are available psychics on a dime. Are not necessarily the best. They're just there because they know you're so desperate. And I'm just saying, and he's a well-known psychic. I'm surprised he could be available on a dime. You know,
He used to be pretty eerie, accurate, but I don't know, something happened. It has not been like that. You know, in a long
time. Well, I always tell people you can have these powers, and if you misuse them, you could lose them on a dime.
Yeah,
so I'm always pretty much trying to make sure I'm not doing anything wrong exploiting people because you will lose your powers in about a second. So I'm seeing you, you know, you're always managed. This time, you know, just be a little positive, and I do see good things for you. So, you know, email me, let me know what happens, but keep putting your resumes out there.
Okay, should I take a chance and go down to Florida and see if I can rent something with whatever I get from my ring? And
that would probably be the best thing you could do. That's why I'm saying get that ring. Just get it certified. Get what you can. Remember, I told you it was going to be a lot less than you thought.
Yeah, just I think it's around what you said.
Okay, because I'm pretty good, you know, knowing what a diamond's actually going to be worth. I know what people paid for it, but I know what you'll get.
So that was it seems like it could even be a little less than that now that I had to have it out of the stone. So it's worth a schlep back into New York. I was in New York all day today.
Try to get that money. You need to get the money so you have some money to put down.
Yeah, it'll go very quickly, but if it would be worth it if it would get me there and that there is something going to turn around. And, you know, I am talking, you know, and I spoke with my, I don't want to name on the phone who it was, the relative that, you know, the only relative I have.
Right.
Who I had lunch with him, and he was very nice to me. And then the second conversation I had with him, I said, I'm really scared. I don't know what I'm going to do. I said, I have, you know, not many options. He goes, I don't care. He flip-flopped again.
Well,
you know what I'm talking about, right?
Yes, of course. And, you know, that's the way some people are. But at least you reached out to him and, you know, his answer. You know, you can't rely on him.
Yeah, so...
Not even as he's getting older, by the way.
Right, right. So you seem to think that there might be a little bit of softening. You know, not that that's what I want him around for. I mean, I'd rather he was around and just help me now. I'm not interested in dealing with someone croaking on me, you know.
I can't deal with that right now.
But it would be just nice if he would... You know, there's a lot of...
These are the unfixables. They're narcissistic and judgmental people. They don't change.
Yeah.
Not even at the hours of their death. I mean, it's just amazing. But you are softening him a little. Remember I told you, soften him a little.
Maybe in
a moment of weakness, you know, he'll come forward.
Yeah, it's not like, you know, it's not like taking advantage of someone who can't do something. You know, it's something that could easily have been done for...
Right.
You know, me.
I know. He's the opposite generation, though. He's my parents' generation, and they don't help anybody, whereas we're always bailing out our kids too much, and there's always extremes of things.
Yeah. It's not so with the rest of the family, his brother, and, you know, but whatever it is, you know, and so, all right.
So good luck. Email me and let me know what happens with the ring and when you're moving to Florida, because I see it happening pretty soon.
Okay, July 4th, you mean?
Right, around then. Yep.
All righty.
Good luck to you.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye. Well, Nicole, the little morality lesson there is, you know, if you're really being desperate and, you know, don't go run to any psychic just to, you know... Just because you want to hear something. I can't stress that enough, you know what I'm saying?
No, you know what? It's always, and now, Cindy, you know that I am absolutely crazy about you and I love you to death. But you know what? Sometimes if you want a different perspective is okay to look for. You know, you don't only have to go, you know, if you go to Cindy, you don't only have to go to Cindy.
Exactly.
You know, it's like a doctor. You can get a second opinion. But the thing is, though, if you're getting the same opinion repeatedly from every freaking doctor that you see, you know, and that opinion is not changing, then you know what? Then don't keep shopping around because you're not hearing the right words.
Right.
You know, eventually you're going to have to stop and you're going to spend so much time trying to disprove 10,000 other opinions, and you're going to miss your opportunity to actually do some healing and to actually fix the problem before you have to go to 10,000 other people.
Right, exactly. And also it's just... Sometimes, people just get so they're so desperate for an answer that moment and a lot of times the psychic can't give you the answer. They can't give you that answer. You got things have to play itself out. You've got to give things time. I mean, you know, it was like with that woman when I told her last month that the guy was not going to see her when she told him she's not going to sleep with him on that first date at Mohegan Sun. She didn't want to believe it. So, of course, she waited the month, still talking to him, and then, of course, he blew her off. So,
yep.
it's sometimes you'll hear, I'll be able to tell you things, but she could have run to 10 psychics wanting to hear, oh, yeah, he's the one. He's for you.
The bottom line is this, is that psychics in general, okay, and this is not every psychic because there are certain people that are more gifted than others, and there are certain people that have got a true gift, and there are others who, you know, who are just kind of take advantage of people that want to hear a certain something. Okay, that's number one. Okay, there's different varieties out there of the people that you're dealing with. So, A, if you're going to seek a second opinion, make sure that it's somebody that's reputable, that's not just going to kind of cold read you, see what you want to hear and tell you what you want to hear, because that's just going to cloud your judgment. Secondly, understand something, that psychics are gifted for a reason. They're here to lend insight. They're here to kind of put, you know, to almost kind of like put thoughts into your head that maybe because you're so close to a situation you wouldn't normally see. And they're also to bring a certain sense of spirituality and a certain connection to you and the universe and the outside world. The work is up to you. If you sit on your couch any day at a psychic, you know, every single day, and a psychic says, you know what, you're going to be a millionaire someday, if you never leave the couch, that's not going to happen. It's got to be cause and effect, okay? You have to do the work. You cannot do no work and expect the maximum result. It's just not going to happen, no matter who you are, no matter how much positive thinking you're doing, okay? Unless you're acting and unless you are actively changing, things will not change, period. You
exactly.
have to be in motion for things to come to you, okay? Because once you're stagnant, the universe around you is stagnant. You have to move. You have to change things. And if you continue to do the same thing over and over and over again, you're going to get the same result over and over and over again. You have to try something new. You have to go out of your comfort zone. You have to go out of your box. A lot of people are looking for love. A lot of people want love. A lot of people want good careers. They want different careers. You know, these are all regular general wants that people want. You know what? And they're not wrong to want. But you know what? Don't just say, I hate my job. Start looking for a new one. Don't just say, I'm looking for love, but stick with the same crap that you know only because you're afraid to start all over again.
Exactly. And even on, I think listening is one of our clients who had a horrible marriage and was back and forth with, you know, with the courts and order of protection and him arresting her and her arresting him. It was a mess. And now it's finally, you know, he served her with the papers and she sent me an email yesterday that she's all upset and now she doesn't know. And I didn't answer her email, and I know she's listening on the show, because what do you want me to tell you? When you did go back to him after, you know, against everybody's guidance, it was a disaster. I mean, sometimes
yep.
people have to, when reality hits, they start, like, rewriting history or, I don't know, somehow
well,
they
you know
don't
what,
get
Cindy?
It.
Here's one of the best examples that I can give you, okay? Now, as you know, I do the radio show from my mother's house. Okay, and of course, me and my mother have many, many conversations about you, about life, about love, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I've had conversations with you about my mom as well, you know, because my mother has, you know, an extremely, extremely dysfunctional relationship and has always had a dysfunctional relationship, you know, with my grandmother. She can't seem to move past certain things. And my grandmother was very abusive to her and very cruel to her throughout her entire life, so I can't exactly say that I blame her. You know, and it's been very, very difficult for my mother to move on. And it's, you know, my mother's been married a couple of times, and you know what? Those haven't worked out in her favor either. You know, I mean, and I've been telling my mother for years that, you know what, Ma, you have to heal. Ma, you got to heal. You can't just put a mask over you. You can't just put a Band-Aid over it. You got to go to the core of what everything is. And you know what? She never really, you know, like she heeded my advice, but only to a certain point. You know, and she's been in a relationship with somebody for the last year and a half, I'd say. And, you know, I think it's maybe almost 2 years, you know, and she never, ever, you know, she never really, you know, opened up to him. He wanted her to open up and she never really did. And she's just like, listen, you know what? I can only give you what I can give you. You know, and she said, I'm not exactly healed. She goes, I'm taking baby steps. And you know what? Little by little, she would give him a little bit more and then a little bit more and then a little bit more. But he was the kind of person that would, whenever she gave that little bit more of herself, as she was easing into this, he would want her to take 10 more steps immediately. and that little baby step that she was taking was never good enough, you know. And whereas the mother of old that I know would have sat here in this relationship, would have just fought it out and done this and that and everything else, you know what, she didn't do that this time. You know, the woman that I know, she would have sat there and she would have fucking dealt with the bullshit. And she would have just not to be by herself, she would have fucking dealt with it. But you know what? You know, she's been going through something with him, and finally she turns around to me. She's like, you know what, Nicole? She's like, it's a problem that I can't get past the abuse from my mother. She's like, it's a problem that my relationships are failing because I've never, ever, not in three marriages, given more than 50% of myself to the other person because I was too afraid that they wouldn't like the real me, and I was too afraid of what they thought of the real me, and I was too afraid of 10,000 other things, and I never gave more than 50%, even in my marriages. And she's like, and you know what? She's like, I'm not doing that anymore. She's like, I need to heal, and she's like, and I'm going to go start speaking to somebody. And then when this particular, you know, guy that she's dating now was not supportive of that, she said, you know what, I'd rather be by myself and do this the right way and be healed and move forward than sit here and try to hold on to somebody, not to be alone and live in the past. And that was like, you know, and I mean, that was like an amazing, amazing feat to me. And it just goes to show you, you know, this is my mom we're talking about here, you know. She is in, you know, I'm not going to tell you how old she is, but she's, you know, in the later years of her life right now. And you know what? At this stage in her life, she doesn't want the bullshit. And she doesn't care about starting over from this point on because, you know what, there's still a lot of life to live. And she'd rather live this portion of her life, whatever portion that's left of her life, she wants it lived the right way. So for anybody that's out there, okay, that is just afraid that you're getting older, maybe you don't want to start all over, maybe you're just used to something, you know what? You can change your behavior. You can change your life. And you can't be afraid that you're not going to get the result that you want. And you can't be afraid to open yourself up to that change. Because
right.
Anybody can make that change, whether you're young or old.
You said the key, the abusive childhood, which this client had also, who is married.
Okay.
People accept, they think love is pain. You know, the breakthrough for me happened when I was 40, when I realized love is not pain. So people are causing me pain or not loving me.
Mm-hmm.
When you love somebody, they bring you joy. They bring you peace. Of course, if you have unhealed issues, they help you with them and they challenge you, but they don't torture you. If we had torturous childhoods, we associate love with being tortured. And that is not love. And
torture and betrayal.
And betrayal. And I was so upset by her email because I'm like, now are you going to rewrite history like things were better? You just went back and forth with him, and every time you went back, it was worse. How is it now that he's actually doing what you want him to do? He served you with divorce papers. Now it's not you serving him. Now you're thinking, oh, maybe this is a mistake.
It's not a mistake.
It's rewriting history. It's being afraid to be on our own and stand on our own two feet. But if you've been back and forth and it's been nothing but abuse, how is this going to work this time without either one of you having gotten some therapy or figuring out why you made such a mess out of this? So I'm saying to that client who is listening, the answer is not going back with that man, because I'm surprised you two haven't killed each other. The answer is figuring out how love goes from good to toxic, why we have to deal with our childhood anger issues, or all love goes down to toxic. And if we've had abusive childhoods, we need to heal, we need to move forward, and we need to make peace with our childhood. Otherwise, it haunts us forever. And, of course, your mom's mom is still alive and living there, so your mom's still in the vortex.
My mother is still in the midst of it because, unfortunately, now you know, my mother, although I don't know why she accepted this responsibility, my mother is still her mother's caretaker. And it's incredible how history is almost in effect, you know, it's coming 360, because now all of the behaviors that my mother used to do that would earn her, you know, pretty much a beating from my grandmother, you know, now my grandmother is engaging in those behaviors. You know, now my grandmother's not all there. Now my grandmother is misbehaving and acting childlike, and my mother is the one that's got to deal with her, you know. And my grandmother is manipulative, and she is cruel, and she is not a nice person. okay? That is the bottom line. People look at her and they see a feeble old woman. I look at her and I know that she seems feeble to the outside eye. And then once you close that door and once she realizes that she's just alone with you, she's a completely different person, and suddenly her mind bounces back. And she remembers how mean and cruel and nasty she is. You know what? She was sweeter than anything, for a short period of time. And then, we had nurses and physical therapists. She said, okay, dear. Oh, yes, dear. That's okay, dear. Oh, yes, please. Yes, thank you. Okay, all of the niceties that you could imagine. You close the door, you get the stranger out of the house. Get me this. Do this. I don't wanna. She tries to hit, she tries to bite, she tries to scream, she tries to yell, she tries to throw things at you. I mean, this is the reality of it. And then you get somebody else in the house. Well, I didn't do that. My mother tried to speak to her just to try to help her with physical therapy. And my grandmother is deaf in one ear and only has 30% hearing in the other. So my mother had to get very close to her face to try to explain what the physical therapist wanted. And my grandmother, even now, even this feeble old woman, tried to claw at my mother's face and tried to smack her, and blames my mother for the state that she's in, even though my mother has been only trying to help her. There's a lot of unresolved things there that my mother can't move past because she's still living it. But you know what?
Exactly.
That's not even the point. The point is that she's still living it and she still wants to heal. She wants it.
And with the client that we're talking about, she's got her past now to get a divorce, move forward. But
this
if you go back
there,
you're choosing that love is pain. You're choosing the devil You're choosing fear over love. You're rewriting history. Yes, reality should set in. You have to mourn for the end of a marriage. Yeah, mourn. Feel bad. Cry. For what could have been, should have been, but don't rewrite history that it's ever
that
going
is
to be.
One of the biggest lies that we tell ourselves. That is the problem with people today, because we always remember the past as better than it actually was, the present worse than it actually is, and think that the future is going to be more dark and more grim than it looks. And the bottom line is that the present is not as bad as you think it is. And the past was not as good as you thought it was. And the future is not going to be as dark as you think it will be.
Exactly.
You have to take a step outside of your own life and your own skin sometimes. And you have to look at things in a more constructive manner. And when you do that, you see outlets. You don't see as everything being dead end. And you don't see that darkness. You see where there's little glimmers of light coming in from all different directions. And you have your choice of what direction to go into to follow that light.
Of course. And that's, always it's moving on and it's dealing with our own issues that allow us to mistake abuse for love.
Yep.
And it is our, if we've been raised in abusive homes, it was what we expect. We expect to be kicked. We expect to be punched. I mean, you ever watch a child who's been beaten? You go to touch them, they flinch backwards, like you're going to hit them. I mean, this is what we've learned in abuse, and I try to teach as much as I can to people. Move forward from the past, but we do not have to be abused by people we love, not our children, not anybody. And people who allow their children to abuse them, you're not doing your kids any favor. No one should abuse us, not our parents, not our kids, not our lovers. And learning to communicate and talk is very important, and that's what this show is about, learn better ways to communicate.
Yep.
And, I did want to tell you something today, all the listeners. Shauna, of course, is in her third year of college, and there she is, 5 A's again. I mean, could you imagine? This is her third year. She got 5 A's out of 5 courses.
Oh, my God. Congratulations.
Again. She's done this, the third year in a row. So if that's the good
wonderful
news, that's the happy news. And I always try to share some good news and happy. And this was a child who was brilliant, talked at 6 months, 3 months, but was the beginning of words, but could barely get her through high school because she gave up on learning. And
yep.
Now at 34 realizes the importance of education and learning. So it's made me supremely happy to see this. So,
oh, congratulations, Shauna.
That is not the nicest, greatest
That's
thing
awesome.
To give to her mom and to herself. And so
yep, absolutely.
My message here is women have to educate themselves. They have to be educated. If you're not educated, you're going to have to stay stuck in relationships that aren't good because you can't afford to leave.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very important that, you know, we learn to support ourselves. Now, I know we have Cindy, Cindy?
We have another Cindy on the line, Cindy. And
Okay. Basically,
this Cindy just is looking for an overall reading. You know, she just wants to know an overall general, you know, healthy relationship, healthy everything, healthy life kind of take on it. So we're going to let Cindy talk with you for a bit, and we're going to see what her cards say. Hello, Cindy, you're on the air.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, Cindy from Long Island.
How you doing?
So, let me see what's going on in your card. So you wanted a sort of general reading, what you can expect.
Yes.
When is your birth date? You don't have to tell me the year, but just the month and the day.
August 31st.
Okay, so you do have a birthday coming up in the next few months.
Yeah.
Because your new year really goes from one birthday to the next. So you're kind of closing up your year in the next few months. You can expect a very good five-year period opening up with your birthday. You've got the Wheel of Fortune spinning. You actually have really good cards, by the way. There's a little bit of anxiety in your picture. Are you prone to anxiety, or are you just going through something that's making you anxious right now?
I've had a very rough last few months. So I'm anxious about the future. You know, I think what you guys were just saying were probably was meant for me. But, yeah, anxious about the future and trying to make the right moves.
You see how funny? We always tell our clients who they were listening to the show, our listeners, that, yeah, there's messages for you delivered between every reading. And, yes, you're a little scared about the future, but you really have learned a lot of karmic lessons. You're closing up a chapter, and you're opening up this five-year period in which anything you want is yours. Career, money-wise, looks very, very good, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I got the Queen of Pentacles for you, which is a woman who makes very good money. And across from it, I got you learning some new skills and keep making very good money. There's a nice relationship in the future. Do you want that as well?
Yes.
Okay, so you really don't have any negative cards other than that sort of anticipatory anxiety, anticipating what's going to happen, a little bit of worrying. If you would just visualize where you want to be a year from now and 5 years from now, the universe will start helping you with that vision. You have a grandfather who passed away. Do you remember him at all?
Yes.
Okay, because he believes in you. He said that, you know, his Cindy, meaning you as opposed to me, was a very good girl growing up. You knew right from wrong.
Yeah.
You've been hardworking. You've been a person who is a person of your word. And
yeah,
you're a very loyal person and hasn't always yielded the best results. Now it's a little bit praying to do its best for everyone, including yourself, so that you can move forward and get the life that you want, which is really here. I mean, it's just ready to happen. Of course, you had to get through what you went through, that, you know, you had to go through the last few months, and you're still standing, so that's pretty good, isn't it? You're still standing.
Still standing. Can't believe it, but I still am.
Yeah, that's what I always tell people. You'll get through it. Sometimes we wonder how we get through it all, but you know, you got the Justice card here, which means legally and in the laws of karma, you know, the worst is behind you. And, you know, relax a little bit. Are you trying to relax now?
I am. I mean, like you said, I learned a lot of lessons health-wise and relationship-wise and trying to take better care of myself and not immediately get upset by what everybody else is doing around me or what everybody else is saying, you know, learning how to react to people, stuff like that.
Right.
Learning how to take care of myself more.
Right. That's why your prayer was pray to do its best for everyone, including yourself, because we don't get any brownie points from God for being martyrs and carrying everybody's cross and cleaning up everybody's mess. As a matter of fact, it makes us sick in the long run because God
right.
makes sure that we can't carry anybody's cross but our own for a little while. So illness is always a wake-up call. Why this? Why now? Why am I sick now? Why is this happening? And, of course, we have to learn that to want everybody to like us is a form of narcissism. Some people are just not going to like us, especially when we're telling the truth.
Right.
And, you know, letting go of people that you need to let go of. Your health looks much better in the upcoming year as well. And there's a really happy family life in the future. The relationship you got out of really took a toxic turn. And the one that is, it's funny, I've got opposite spectrum cards. You ended something that wasn't fixable, and you're going to be granted a soulmate love. You just need a little time to stand on your own 2 feet without anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Believe in yourself a little bit. Have that courage. Learn the lessons that you needed to learn. Really, nobody can abuse us without our permission, and I can't stress that enough. We allow people, whatever insecurities in us, allow people to treat us less than they should. That's something that we all have to work on. We have to treat people the way we want to be treated and have them treat us the same way. And
would possibly be a relationship that was not so great that will be greater, will be better, or no, totally different?
It's possible you could fix it because the cards show a bad relationship and across from it a good one. Now, whether that means you're going to fix this one or you're going to be offered another one, the person has some issues that you're dealing with. You know that.
Yes.
And some people are not going to be fixable. You have to determine whether that person is going to be doing, the inner homework that they're supposed to do. And, you can't fix the person. Did you figure that out? They're going to have to fix themselves?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, because sometimes if people are manipulative, which means they don't take responsibility for their actions and it's never their fault and they twist and turn truth, and if they're very judgmental, those two traits make the people not fixable. Is this person manipulative?
Yeah,
is
a little
bit. Person judgmental?
Yes.
Okay, I'm saying what I could see in these cards is you're dealing with an unfixable. The person is going to tell you what you want to hear. And then, 3 to 6 months later, you go, how am I back at the same point again?
That's funny, because I actually just thought of that this morning as I was leaving for work. I said, I feel like I'm back where I was, clearer head, but the situation around me has not changed.
Exactly. And that's why you're getting a lot of divine guidance, because you needed to hear that this morning so that when I tell it to you today, you know you heard your spirit guides.
Yeah.
Telling you. You know, we can't bring love back up the ladder of love, even if it started out as soulmates, if we can't fix one of the people. And manipulative, judgmental people, I've never fixed one. I've never seen one change in my 61 years on this planet. So, miracles happen, but you're not a miracle worker. I'm not the miracle worker. God's not the miracle worker. That person has to earn his own miracle, and I'm not seeing he's really doing that, so... Again, they tell us what we want to hear, and they do what they want, narcissist. And we wonder how we always back to that same friggin' place.
Right.
And again, I'm not blaming him. If you're willing, if you're willing to play the game where he goes back to his dysfunction over and over again, why not play it?
No, I can't, because I got sick once. I can't do it again.
Okay. And
I just finished cancer treatment. I just got actually a good MRI, and I was very happy about that. But I went through too much. I can't.
Well, cancer always has a very strong element of anger turned inward, of depression, of stuffing down anger.
Yeah.
And if you don't want to get cancer or get it again, and you want to stay in remission and heal, you can't go back with the same person who made you stuff down anger in the first place.
Right.
So if you could say what you mean what you say, don't be mean about it. If you can accept how he is and that's okay with you, then that's fine. But
you see, because we are married, do you see any kind of divorce or anything?
Well, that's what I saw with there is a point where a divorce is definitely, there was a legal aspect here that you could certainly get a divorce.
Right.
Give it your best, give it your shot, but give a time frame for yourself. 3 to 6 months, you're putting your 2 feet in, you're seeing if we can fix this. If not, then you take 2 feet out and see if he gets therapy, he does his homework, and then you can see what happens. But you can't go on forever with the 1 foot in, 1 foot out, because that makes us depressed. That's hopeless. You feel hopeless. Nothing's ever going to change. for your own sanity, you need to put a framework of time.
Okay.
That you'll give him 6 months, you trying all you can do, you calling him on his bullshit, you addressing it, you saying, that's not what happened, that's not this. You know, say it nicely, say it with a sense of humor, get back in bed, be his lover, do everything you can to see, make it work. But at the end of 6 months, if you see nothing's changed, then taking 2 feet out doesn't mean it's over. It means he knows you mean it.
Right. Okay.
You know, and sometimes people just really need to know, I'm not your mom. I'm not going to take your crap forever like your father did. I mean, sometimes people need to realize they're pushing you to see why their parents took so much nonsense from each other. And there's a point in which, you know, that can be, marriage can be fixed with 2 feet out. And, you know, again, I'm not seeing you get sick. You have a very good 5-year period opening up. I think for your cancer, you needed to hear that.
Yeah.
You know, you have this wonderful 5-year period opening up. But you're going to be the one that's going to make that wonderful 5-year period.
Okay, great.
Call in again and let us know what's going on. Again, try. Put your 2 feet in and try.
Okay,
I mean,
will
and
do.
At that point, you can tell your children, you can tell everyone, I did the best that I could.
Okay,
you know,
sounds
and that's
good.
What you need to do. Well, good luck to you.
Thank you.
Nicole, thank you for everything. Cindy, have a nice Memorial Day weekend.
And actually, everybody have a nice Memorial Day weekend. Be safe out there, and remember, it's not just about barbecues and fun and a 3-day weekend. It is about our veterans. It is remembering those who have died for their countries, and it is about our servicemen. So if you know a serviceman, just do yourself a favor and do them a favor, because I know that they'll appreciate it. And just say thank you. Thank you for what you do. Thank you for your service, and thank you for protecting us.
Exactly. And, Nicole, don't forget to email me with your schedule, please.
I told you to email me your schedule last week.
I did email you. You didn't get it?
No.
I emailed you the other day.
I did not get it. Okay, so do me a favor. Email me again and see if we can try to make it for, like, midweek. Like, Wednesday would probably be good because I'm going to get my editor and my cameraman together on this so that we can get some stuff down or whatever and get a plan going. So I believe he's available on a Wednesday, so see if we can try to work that out. But I'm going to confirm his schedule and just resend me yours. All
see
right.
See you soon. Bye.
Happy Memorial Day, everybody. Bye-bye.